There once was a guy named Ron who didn't know what station he was on. So he started a pod, he thought it was odd. And now his mind is totally gone.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Mm-hmm. Hold on tight. All right. Things can get a bit weird.
I know.
If you like that sort of thing.
I kind of do.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the... Oh, crap.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Good, fine, thanks. Yeah, me too. Yeah, good, thank you. Bye! How you doing? I really care about you. Come on, seriously. Lord. Okay, I haven't talked about Donald Trump for about over a month now. I may have alluded to the circus being in town, but that was about it, in somewhat of a blind analogy test. Here's the thing. I just feel, in light of what's been going on recently, maybe you don't follow this and you don't know what I'm talking about, but Donald Trump Jr., which is Egotist Jr., I call him, Egomaniac Jr., whatever. He apparently went to a meeting with a Russian lawyer being promised that there's going to be some shakeups in the campaign back in June of 2016. They got dirt on Hillary Clinton. It's going to be explosive. The Russians say they've got this. And Donald Trump Jr. says, I'll be there. I love it. He contacts his brother-in-law there, his brother-in-law there, married to the daughter there, the Kushner. And also Paul Manafort, who's running the campaign at the time. And Donald Trump Jr. emails them, and they say, yeah, I'm going. And they go to this meeting. In there are declarations that had to be signed by all these people saying that they had no connections to any foreign governments or Russia's, and that didn't have any meetings. They did not mention these meetings. The meetings actually took place. Of course, there was denial months ago that any of these people spoke to any Russian counterparts at all during the campaign. They were not involved at all with the Russians in discussing the campaign. That turned out to be a total lie. Donald Trump Jr. said he never contacted anybody else on the campaign team that he was going to meet with this Russian attorney. And yet the emails are in black and white. There he is contacting them and them responding saying, yeah, we're going. Donald Trump goes to this meeting with this Russian lawyer, and apparently Donald Trump Jr. says nothing comes of this. There was no mention. As a matter of fact, all that was talked about was how to adopt Russian children. All of this turned out to be a total unquestionable lie through Donald Trump's copies of emails himself. So there's so much lying going on in the administration. The day... Just 2 days after Donald Trump Jr. receives this invitation to meet with this Russian attorney about exposing Hillary Clinton damaging things. The president of the United States, you know this guy Donald Trump? He actually, with his mouth on tape in front of people, says, I'm going to make a major announcement on Monday about Hillary Clinton. You won't believe it. Obviously, to anybody, referring to the fact that this meeting is going to take place and all this information is going to be dumped upon them from the Russian government. If that's not collusion, I don't know what it is. They are teaming up with the Russian government to get dirt on Hillary Clinton. Now, that's a fact. And there are still people walking around who support Donald Trump to the point where they think that he never lies, he always tells the truth, and he is godlike in his actions, etc. They want to be just like him. They think he's doing an incredible job. Any connection to the Russians is just made up by the media. It's fake news. All this is not fake news. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump just this morning said that everything that you're hearing is fake news from all the news outlets. They're making all this up. No, Donald, this is stuff that you guys actually said with your mouth. There are emails that are actually received that are actual emails. It's not fake. The fake news comes from the White House. That's where it's made up. That's where all the lies are coming from. This is the most lying president. He's the opposite of Lincoln, I guess. And there are still people roaming this country saying that Donald Trump doesn't lie. He only tells the truth. He is the most truthful, honest president. Anything he says is transparent and absolutely the truth. I've got to tell you something, people. You are being played like a fiddle, like you've never been played before. You are being pickpocketed. You are being lied to, manipulated, maneuvered, and you still have a smile on your face. You don't even realize it. It's kind of one of the most pitiful displays of citizenship I've ever seen. It's nice to be patriotic. It's another thing to be blind. And unfortunately, it's kind of starting to eat away at the democracy of this country by its own president declaring that the greatest enemy of the American people is the news media, when the news media actually keeps this country honest. I don't quite understand it. Just today, the House GOP is passing a bill to fund $1.6 billion to begin building the border wall in Mexico. I seem to remember that this Trump guy during the entire campaign said that building this border wall wouldn't cost the American people 1 cent. It was all going to be billed to the Mexican government, which they, by the way, of course, have said, you're got to be nuts. We ain't paying a dime. But that was the campaign promise. It was distinctly, Americans won't be paying a dime. Well, you're paying $1.6 billion this upcoming year to build this wall. That was a lie. And that's just a small example of the lies and the deceit and the manipulation of the American people and the manipulation of the various forms of government in this country. It's a sad, pathetic thing that most people in this country are just walking down the street like nothing is happening. It's a very serious attack on our democracy by its own president in collusion with a foreign government. And happily so. As many times Trump had said during the campaign, if Russia has anything on Hillary Clinton, go for it, man. Do it. That's actually inviting it. There are no morals here. It's strict egotistical competition. Now, I know a lot of you that voted for Trump, most of you, did so because you hated Hillary Clinton. I get that. And some of you actually loved Donald Trump because he was so different. But there's got to be a point at some juncture here where you've got to say to yourself, uh-oh, this isn't working out like I thought it would. All these promises of deals, nothing. As a matter of fact, the man seems to create more enemies than he does working partners, by far. You really got to sit in a chair alone in a dark room and start questioning what's going on here. That the president is guilty of lies and deceit and manipulation and creates his own fake news and then blames it on the other side, on the news outlets. Well, now the heat is on, and it's on in more than just a battle of psychology and bullying. It's on more in a legal sense. Everybody's lawyered up on the White House side. Is it a diversion from what the Republicans actually wanted to do when they took control of Congress? You bet it is. Because the more the lies come out of the White House, which are substantiated lies, the more they are unable to do anything that's effective. It's actually a very sad and dangerous time as the world becomes very tumultuous with some aggressive countries. This is no time to be playing political games. This is a time to use your brains to be smart, your experience, your strategies, all of which this president and his entire staff have nothing of. And all the smarts that he may have in his cabinet are not able to execute their smarts. It's a sad, 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 sad day. It's a sad, 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 sad day. Okay, that's enough. Have yourself a nice day. I'll be back in just a second.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay. Coming up later in the program, we have an actual sommelier. Were any of those pronunciations correct? That's a French word for a wine tester. Those are people who walk around with little cups on their chest. No, I'm not talking about large-breasted women. I'm talking about those people that they have little tasting cups around their necks dangling in their chest area. Could be sexy, I suppose. So we're going to find out, being a from him. He's with the Capital Grill at this time, but he's been with some of the finest restaurants and hotels in the world. He joins us later on. I'm a little bit grumpy. I'm a little bit rock and roll today, and I'll tell you why. I went to another concert. I've been going to concerts lately. I've got a few more this year to go to. I went to see the Moody Blues at some venue there that's on the wharf in Boston. It's called the Blue Hills Bank something, the Blue Hills Bank Pavilion. It's not just a bank. It would be funny. Where's the concert taking place? At a bank. Yeah. They can't fit too many people into the concert venue. I think it's like 12. But yeah, it's taking place in a bank. Who are you seeing in the bank? The Moody Blues, they're all there. So anyway, I like the Moody Blues and I don't. You know, it's kind of like, but okay, fine. They are, there's three of them left. There's a drummer and two lead vocal and guitarists, John Lodge, Justin Hayward, and some other guy. And their songs are very popular, and I thought, well, you know, it's kind of like a mellow rock kind of thing. It'd be kind of nice. So I go to this thing. I park my car. By the way, parking in Boston is ridiculous. It's kind of cheaper to be launched to the moon in a SpaceX rocket ship and then descend back to Earth. That would cost less money than parking in a garage for 3 hours in Boston. It cost me $35 to park for 3 hours. I think that's absurd. That's the same amount of money that practically the concert tickets were. It's kind of stupid. So I park my car in this place. Then I walk over to this Blue Hills Bank Pavilion. It's a giant place. There's a lot of things in it, a lot of people, a lot of seats. I've been to this thing before. I hate this venue because people tend to stand up and dance while the concert's going on. That's fine if there are no seats. But if someone pays money for a seat, you're sitting there to watch the concert. You can't spend the whole time watching the people in front of you dance in front of you, and all you're seeing are their shaking asses for 2 hours. Well, that's what happened. And there was an intermission after the first 45 minutes, and I went right up to the security desk at this pavilion, and I said, "This is a joke. I've spent money for seats, and I can't see a damn thing because the people in front of me won't sit down." And the security people look at me, and they say, I know. But if they pay for the seat, they can stand in front of it or sit in it. They've paid for that space. That's what the ticket represents. And I said, what about me? I paid for a seat, but I can't sit in it because someone's standing up right in front of me through the whole thing. I said, I'm sorry, sir, but legally that's the best. We can offer them another seat, but if they don't want it, they've paid for that space. So I left with my accompanying a girl. And I left, and I left in quite an angry tone, and I said, I'm not putting up with this crap. I've reached a point in my life where I don't just stand there like some kind of dummy. I take action. So I left. And right next to this Blue Hills Bank Pavilion thing, it's on a big wharf there, you know, in the Boston Harbor. Right next to it is another wharf with a string of very nice fancy restaurants. So we walked over there, and we were able to hear the concert perfectly because it's an outdoor pavilion tent thing. It's not an indoor thing. It's an outdoor venue with a covering over it. So we were able to hear the whole thing and even see parts of it. And we sat there and had some alcoholic beverages sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away, or however that song goes. It was a beautiful, nice, crisp night with a nice breeze, a full moon. It was actually very pleasant. I could hear everything perfectly and not have to see these people's asses shaking in front of my face through the entire concert. I am now never going back to that venue again, and I've contacted them since and told them vehemently that their place sucks. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not fake news. It sucked. Anyway, I had to get that off my chest. I know if you had some type of a talk show, you would get that off your chest as well. Of course, your chest is probably a little bit bigger than mine. I really don't know. I'm not familiar with your chest. I've not received any pictures of your chest. I'm not inviting them. I think that would be sort of weird. You know, so don't do that. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Hey, thanks for being here, by the way. You're here every single weekday. Yeah, I know. I can't explain it either. Every single weekday, Monday through Friday, a brand new show. Listen any time of day. You don't have to be here when it's being done. You can listen all the time. That's what this thing is about. It's not like, oh my God, it's 10 o'clock. I missed Ron's show. Now I'll never be able to experience the lovely, spectacular production that he puts together. Now you can listen at any time, any place. You just go to newenglandbroadcasting.com and you can hear it all the time. Or you can see the entire list and hear the entire list at iTunes or TuneIn Radio. The Podbean Network has all 800 episodes right there. Episodes, I forgot the D. So we're all over the place. Please take advantage of me. Let me introduce some of the orchestra. These songs, the one you're listening to, the opening theme, all that kind of stuff, is composed by Jason Shaw. Thank you, Jason. All that comedy stuff that you're hearing in the opening and the comedy commercials and the little, hi, it's the Ron Van Dam Show kind of stuff, that's all John Shanahan. Thank you, John. And there are other people behind the scenes whom I don't really care to mention at this time. I've just started to drink coffee. I've talked about coffee on this show many times, the wonderment of bean juice. I like my coffee iced. It's absurd to go to these coffee places and ask for an iced coffee, because what you're asking for is a little bit of coffee with a lot of ice cubes. So you're paying for kind of half the coffee, where you could certainly get a nice full cup of iced coffee with no ice, go home, put some ice in a glass, pour the coffee in. You've doubled the price. You've cut the price in half. You haven't doubled, you've cut the price in half. It's $3 for a large iced coffee with the ice in it. It's $3 for twice as much coffee without the ice in it. You provide your own ice, and I think you're a little better off on that deal. But anyway, I despise the taste of it. I won't put milk in it because milk is dairy and is like, you know, the sugar in milk. A cup of milk has 12 grams of sugar in it, added sugar. Not really good for you. And I certainly don't put sugar in my... So I drink it black, but iced, you know, it adds a little... It's all right. The reason that I'm doing this is two reasons. And they're both medical. None of them have to do with taste or enjoyability. What is great for my metabolism is it pumps me up just a bit, not a lot, just a bit. And I actually find that I'm sorry I'm going to say this, but it's absolutely true. I actually go to the bathroom more frequently and I keep things moving, so to speak. In with the good, out with the bad, on a continual basis. It works every time for me. The other is that a study was done, and I don't know who did the study, so don't press me on this, and it's refutable. But the study says that people who drink a couple of cups of coffee every day live longer by 18%. In other words, they did a study with people who drink coffee, and then they did a study for people who don't drink coffee. The ones that do drink coffee, by 18%, live longer. I don't know about healthier, but they live longer. And my assumption, because of the first thing that I said, is because when you eat food, it goes through your system faster when you seem to drink coffee. And I think the less that you have crap sitting in your body, the better. The only thing that works better than coffee to get the crap out of you on a continual flowing basis, the only thing better than coffee is Indian food. I can't do Indian food anymore. It's starting to affect me. If I was from India this may not happen because my body would be used to it. But I'm not from India. I don't know if you realize that, but I'm not. And eating Indian food, really, it's like as soon as I finish the meal, I put the fork down, I'm in the bathroom for the next 3 days. Everything that I've ever consumed is coming out. I'm like, if I were going to have a colonoscopy, why do the prep the day before? Just have some Indian food. There's no need to prep. Not only will everything be cleared out of your system, but it shall stay cleared out of your system for months to come. It's an amazing colonic. You don't have to do the greens and the vinegars and all that kind of thing. And I just have some Indian food, man. Try it. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's fairly tasty, but it does its job. They should just take Indian food, package it, and on the package label it would say colonic to get rid of all your insides. As a matter of fact, if you want to get rid of all your insides, and I'm talking about your heart, your liver, your kidneys, they will all wash out. Indian food and coffee, man, it's just like you'll have nothing left inside at all. You'll have nothing. You'll be hollow. You'll be hollow. You'll be dead, and you'll be hollow. It'll make the undertaker's job a lot easier. Or we don't have to clean out his organs. The guy's hollow. Wow. All right. I guess we can lift him up here, huh? Yeah, he's hollow. This is like nothing inside. What, do you have Indian food and coffee? Is that what happened to him? Apparently, he's hollow. Man. Let's talk about food. We got a sommelier here, and he's going to sommelier up this place. But first, do you like pasta?
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But you know me as the guy who runs the area's favorite Italian restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Thank you. Hey, do you like pasta? Of course you do. Then you gotta come to Headshots this month for Pasta La Musa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Pacula.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta La Nusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Paduca.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Patchouli.
Nice. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Potato.
Pasta Palooza.
Mr. Potato.
Back on track, Bobby. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Fajoule.
On the menu, but Pasta Palooza.
Patsy Klein.
No idea where that came from.
Pasta Canunza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Tallulah.
Pasta Palooza.
Jesus. Just come out and have some goddamn spaghetti.
Headshots now open Tuesday through Sunday at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer.
All right. Let's conjure up the Somali. I can't say that, man. The Somali.
Hey,
Brian, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Brian Phillips is an advanced sommelier. You have to say that with a little French accent. He knows his stuff. He's with the Capitol Grill. Everybody knows that chain. He's been with some of the finest restaurants and some of the finest hotel chains in the food culinary field. So we got the expert here. Explain to my listening audience, mostly a bunch of airheads, what exactly is a sommelier?
Yeah, so sommelier is really just a title given to a wine server. So if you really want to break it down, you translate that from French, it's basically the person that was in charge of the wine and the food and serving that. And then it became very elevated in status as we have the Court of Master Sommelier program that does the certification process through the multiple levels. And basically the advanced sommelier is that third level. And then I sit the Master Sommelier, the final level, in a couple of weeks. and hopefully we'll get that. And there's approximately 200, a little over 200 master sommeliers in the world.
No, that's not a lot. But it's more than just a server. I mean, let's face it, your knowledge of wines is above most people. So that's where we go for this. Now, it seems to me that every few years there's another wine title that that isn't popular, and all of a sudden everybody goes out and starts buying it. Where are we at right now? It's usually the red wines too. Where are we at as far as that's concerned?
Well, you know, the ever-changing trends of wine and leading producers will always keep evolving. Mm-hmm. I think that the current trend, though, and it's just kind of beginning, is with the millennials. They're the new segment consuming wine, and mm-hmm. they are really all about the experience. They want something to talk about, something to put on social media. Mm-hmm. They don't want to drink what their parents were drinking. And so I think they're more about discovering things before anybody else. Right. So the lesser known, the better. Varietals and regions that aren't so common are what they're going after so that they can be there first. I still like to go back to the classics. You know, I like my Napa Cabernets, especially when they're aged. They're mm-hmm. beautiful. I think they're some of the best wines with age. But really, it's, you know, personal preference. I think that getting outside the box is always nice. You know, there's 2,500 different varietals in the world, so find some of those that maybe you didn't think of before.
It's just amazing how this country, the United States, many of the states are incredible wine producers, to the point where the you can always, you know what to expect. The quality's always there, and there's never a question.
Yeah. I mean, wine production now, if you're out there in the market and you have a place in the market, it's because your wine is good. It has mm-hmm. value. There's really not a lot of bad wine out there anymore. It's all about personal preference. Everyone's trying to get into the wine game. It's a trend, and you know, everyone wants that romanticism of making their own wine if they can do it. And I think that the experience of being able to sit down and relax at the end of the day, like any other fermented beverage, wine really takes you to a place and represents something more impactful than probably any other food product out there.
Probably you're asked this question more than any other, is what wines go with what foods? What are your favorite pairings?
Yeah, to keep that pretty general and simplistic, and I like pairings to be just this bigger, broader general rule, because I think discovering pairings that work best is part of the fun. But I think about the weight of the food and the weight of the wine. Mm-hmm. So if I'm having light dishes like salads, white seafood, I want a light-bodied wine, a crisp Pinot Grigio, Sauvignon Blanc, unoaked Chardonnay. Those work well. And then progress to the heavier wines with the heavier dishes, like some of those steaks off the grills with your bigger, bolder reds.
Okay. Now, I've heard about this Generous Pour event. What is that?
Yeah, so the Generous Pour event is our summertime wine event at the Capitol Grill. It's featured now through September 3rd, and it's an opportunity to come in and try a lot of different wines and experience a lot of pairings. We will feature 7 wines, all 90-plus rated. These are consistently highly rated wines amongst mm-hmm. the critics. Our servers will make a lot of suggestions for the pairings and guide the guests throughout this, and then you can go back and try your favorites as much as you like.
Oh, okay. Wow. When you say try your favorites, is it a sip or what's happening?
Oh, no, not at all. We will actually pour you enough for each course, and then we will often line up multiple wines with each course that might work, and then you pick your favorites there, and then you can get a full glass of whatever you like or more and just continue the enjoyment. It kind of gets guests outside the box of getting just one bottle of wine to go with everything that they're having at dinner, and instead, you know, really having a one-off experience that people don't always get to experience, where they have 7 different wines on the table that they can go back and forth between and kind of make their own mind up of what they like the most.
So it's like a wine tasting, only instead of crackers, you're having a nice steak or something.
Exactly. There you go.
That's not a bad deal. Pretty good. Okay.
It makes each other taste a lot better, I'll tell you that. You have great steak with some food.
Really good wine, anything tastes good, but the Capitol Grill is certainly known for the creme de la creme. Did I put that properly?
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. Yeah, we have our own butcher in-house, expertly cutting these steaks. We're dry-aging them in-house, which really brings out some of the depth of flavor. In this year's lineup, we have 2 beautiful cabs, one from Sonoma, the really well-known established Sonoma producer Arrowwood, and then Mount Brave from Napa Valley, top Mount Veeder. Really beautiful classic styles of Cabernet.
Okay.
Great with steaks.
Now, if I didn't know what I was doing, and I wanted to look like I knew what I was doing, and you hand me a taste of wine, what am I supposed to do?
The first thing you want to do is stick your nose down in the glass.
Okay.
You know, don't be afraid. It's not scotch. It's not going to burn your nose hairs off or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
Give it a good whiff. You know, get to know that wine, smell mm-hmm. a little bit, and make sure it's what you like and be honest. Then give it a quick sip. Make sure it's good to go. The main thing they're doing that for is to make sure there's nothing wrong with the wine, because some wine can spoil. There's, you know, some corks that don't work out,
right,
and the wine can become tainted. And so you just want to make sure it's good to go, and then just acknowledge that, let them pour away. I think another key thing is listening to some of your servers. You go to the Capital Grill, they're all consistently trained on wine,
yeah,
and they'll make some great recommendations and pairings. If it doesn't taste right, it's because there's probably something wrong with the wine. They know what they're doing. They'll pick some great ones for
you. Cool. Brian, where do I get more information about all of this?
Yeah, so our website is thecapitalgrill.com. We also have a very progressive app that you can download to your phone, the Capital Grill Concierge app. And it'll have all our wines on every menu for every Capital Grill with all the tasting notes and ratings, including this year's generous pour lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make reservations directly through that app.
Perfect. Maybe someday we'll be so technologically advanced that you can take your smartphone, put it in your mouth, and actually taste the wines, but probably not.
Hey, the smellometer's on its way. It's coming. They're working on it.
Yeah, and I think you got a big part in this. I think you've got an investment in this thing. Brian,
yeah.
Brian, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Cheers. We'll see you at Capital Grill soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Cheers to you, Brian. Cheers. 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 Yay! Cheers! Brian's a smelly. I call them wine snobs. Now, here's not a wine snob, but I know people who are not smelly, and I call them wine snobs because when they smell the wine, their face contorts into some type of a smug face. You know, the smug face, like, I'm above everybody. I am the ruler of the wines. I, in my infant wisdom, shall be testing the wine for its delicacy and its richfulness and the depth of color and give me a break. Yeah, just drink the damn wine. If you get high, then it's done its job. Seriously? No, Ron. The wine has to achieve a level of perfection as its grapes are peeled by tiny little owls living in Norway. It must be cared and cradled, and it must be preserved in only the finest barrels belonging to this great land of ours, and in huggable wood containers intertwined with the finest soil of the trees of the containers of the wood. This in barrels, it's the barrel and the wine and the love and the care of the picking of the, you can't just pick a grape, you have to fondle its nipple and twist and remove and hold the grape in great sacred response and bow to the grape and place it in the palm of your hand and nurture it like a grape's never been nurtured before, stroking its very belly of the grape and making it relax and its finest fruitful entities come pouring out of its grapeness in its form of the vine, of the vine of the form of the greatness of the grape that's formed in your hand. And then it is carefully fermented in the finest manner of fermentation ever seen by the highest anarchy of grapedom. And the vineyards are the kissed of dew and blessed by a rabbi from New Jersey in his fine ornate outfit in the blessing of the vineyard that we hold so dear at this time in our lives, with the grape and the kissing of the grape, the puckering of your lips to kiss the fine nape of the grape. And then you put it in the glass and you smell it with your nose. You let the follicles of your nose hairs surround the flavor enhancement, the vapors coming off of the fine wine into your nostril in your inner sanctum of nostril life. And then with your ruby lips, which you have nurtured through the years by kissing only the finest whores you could possibly find on the planet, you take your lips and you taste that wine that just askance as the wine touches your lips and rolls down into your mouth cavity. And then, only then, can you tell, as you swish the wine around in the glass and notice the film that it leaves on the side of the glass. Is it glassy? Is it film? Is it richy? Is it richy film? And then, only then, can you discern the fineness of the wine and its great, great pleasures. And that is a true wine snob. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.